Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, news of Grab's upcoming $40 billion SPAC. Reports of Gojek and Tokopedia joining forces to form GoTo. Despite the current pandemic, regional deals have been hitting headlines hard. According to a recent report by Deal Street Asia, Southeast Asia-based startups kicked off 2021 in style, raising a record amount. Now, to find out more on the latest market moves and deal moves making headlines, we welcome Christine Yeo, Senior Writer, Venture Capital and Startups at Deal Street Asia. Christy, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good to have you with us, Christy. And I really appreciated this headline out of Deal Street Asia this morning. It was titled Super App Battle for Indonesia Gets Hotter as Grab and GoTo Level Up to Take C. Now, I know you've been watching the Grab story very, very closely. What's the latest?
The latest is Grab is going to get an Altimeter deal done. The spec that was announced, I believe this was like 2 weeks ago. This is actually the biggest spec that we've ever seen, not just in Southeast Asia, but in the world, and which values them at about $40 billion. I mean, we've definitely seen some heavyweight specs that were announced in the last year. The likes of Lucid Motors, which was listed earlier this month, at about $24 billion. DraftKings last year at $13 billion. And what's remarkable is now it's $40 billion. And it seems like, you know, this is just going to continue. But more remarkably, I think for Southeast Asian companies, I think this is definitely a significant milestone for the ecosystem here. The fact that we've not seen a company of this size list this large. I mean, we have seen the likes of C Group. We've seen Razer that listed in Hong Kong. But, you know, exits of this scale, IPOs of this scale and of this size is still so rare in Southeast Asia. So, you know, it's gotten everyone really excited. I think the US market as well is just, you know, in the beginning stages of beginning to discover what Southeast Asia is really about, you know, and it's gotten, you know, them really excited about the opportunity that they're looking for in Southeast Asia. I mean, a lot of them have been exposed to the likes of Tencent, China super apps, you know, that wave has kind of come, and I wouldn't say has passed, but, you know, they've ridden that growth. And I think a lot of US investors are looking for where's the next growth market. And Southeast Asia just seems to be at the right place at the right time.
I love the puns that you mentioned there. I don't know if they were intentional, but talk us through Grab's journey to get to the right place at the right time for this deal to happen. As you mentioned, this is a $40 billion SPAC deal.
Yeah, I mean, Grab has been in the private market for some time, right? They've been around, 10 years? I can't remember the exact how long they've been around, but they've grown to an immense size. They've raised a lot of money in venture capital. I believe about $10 billion of it has been raised so far. And once you get to that stage, you know, there are only so many investors that you can actually raise money from. Once you've exhausted all of your options in the private capital market, where do you go? You got to go to the public capital market. But I think what's interesting, especially, is you know, you in order to continue, something that a lot of US investors, I think, may not be so keenly aware of in Southeast Asia is actually how competitive the ecosystem is over here. Yes, Grab is a dominant player in Southeast Asia, especially when it comes to delivery, ride-hailing. But there are so many other competitors out here in the market, which, you know, honestly, I don't know how many US investors are aware of, whether it's Gojek, whether it's Tokopedia, Traveloka. You know, a lot of them are seeing very, very stiff competition on multiple fronts. You know, a lot of them started in their core lanes, whether it's in ride-hailing, e-commerce, food delivery. A lot of the lines are getting blurred now. We've definitely seen that in the last year. And I think as we move on to 2021, you're going to see a lot of these lines, whether it's like e-commerce coming into fintech, fintech going into ride-hailing, into food delivery, into logistics. And all of them, you're going to see a huge like market grab for whether, you know, in terms of acquisitions, whether in terms of customers, whether in terms of deliveries, everyone is going to be, you know, grabbing for a larger portion of the market, of the pie. And the only way to do that is to spend more money. Where else can you get money, you know, to the billions of dollars that you're talking about, right? And I think Grab has just reached that point of its growth where, you know, the only place that they can get access to billions of dollars is the US market.
Christy, yeah. Talk to us about Altimeter. What do we know about them and how will this deal work? What does it mean for, you know, the likes of Anthony Tan and other current private shareholders of the company once the deal takes effect?
So, I mean, Altimeter itself, these guys are, I mean, is full US, you know, slate of, you know, management. Mm-hmm. The guy, the person who's leading Altimeter is this guy called Brad Gerstner, who, you know, has had plenty of experience as an operator, started out at a VC firm, has led, started his own companies and exited his companies multiple times. So these are guys who know what they're doing, right? And what's actually also interesting about Altimeter is that for the PIPE deal that they're doing into Grab, which is the basically the private placement that they are, the extra money that they're raising on top of the SPAC money that's been set aside, about half of it is actually coming from Altimeter themselves, which is, you know, really goes to show how much faith they have and confidence they have in the Grab team, and vice versa as well. You know, Grab is also not just setting aside half of Altimeter, of course, the rest of it came from, you know, top-notch guys like BlackRock, T. Rowe Price, and all that, which goes to show that, you know, obviously both of them had a lot of confidence in partnering with each other, and so, you know, makes sense for them to get this deal done. As for who the winners, the biggest winners are in this deal, you know, we've seen several, you know, large stakeholders, shareholders in Grab. Most prominent of which is SoftBank. So SoftBank Vision Fund has plowed in something like $3 billion into Grab alone. I think for them, it's definitely timely. I think if you guys have been following the headlines, you know, we all know that SoftBank has been in somewhat of quite a prickly situation last year. They're taking some money off the table, and which is much needed. And so the liquidity that they're getting out of the deal is probably the biggest win for them. But I think Uber is the one that's actually pretty interesting. They invested. So if you remember, there was a Grab Uber acquisition that happened here in Southeast Asia, right, which led to Uber pulling out of this region in exchange for shares in Grab. Now what Uber gets to walk away with, like something like a 14.3% stake at $5.7 billion, which means that their return has roughly 8x'd in the last 3 years, just 3 years, which is really remarkable. So they're getting actually a great deal out of this spec. Yeah. But I think the biggest winner of all is definitely just Grab themselves, right? Mm. They're raising money, they're raising capital. They get to continue to play in Southeast Asia, and Southeast Asia gets to benefit from all of it, because I think, you know, what they're essentially doing also is they're putting Southeast Asia in the spotlight. And I think what we're going to see is just a massive wave of US interest in Southeast Asia. And from what I understand, it's already beginning as we speak.
We're speaking with Christy Neo, Senior Writer, Venture Capital and Startups at Deal Street Asia. And Christy, talking about that increased focus on Southeast Asia, what about investors here within the region? Because there are talks of a potential Singapore listing for Grab. Can you talk us through the timeline and possibility of that?
Got like a great Southeast Asian story. You know, Grab has just gone on to the US markets and listed over there. I'm sure as SGX, you know, you do want to ensure that you get to have your name kind of, you know, next to this big story that you, as Singapore Inc., maybe not just so much as SGX itself, you know, having a part to play in investing and getting involved in the Grab story. You know, I see Grab's, you know, listing, potential listing, at least with SGX, as a way of, you know, perhaps paying national service to how Grab has actually, how Singapore has actually helped them and invested in them in the early days. And this is, I guess, their way of being able to pay back. As for the timeline, I don't think we have much visibility on that. Mm-hmm. But if the US listing is going out this year, perhaps they would start working on a Singapore listing right after. So I would think optimistically, maybe end of this year or next year, perhaps you can see something in Singapore.
And lastly, Christy, I've got to ask you about some of these numbers that we've seen out in a recent Deal Street Asia report. Let's talk about the overall deal landscape for the region, because I think the headline went to something along the lines of Southeast Asia startups beat the pandemic blues in the first quarter to raise a record $6 billion. Do you think we're likely to see this continue?
Well, hard to say, but, you know, out of the $6 billion that was actually announced, a majority of it actually came from two deals alone. So I think we've got about $3 billion that came from Grab Financial. So this is the financial arm of Grab that raised a round that was led by Hanwha. And you've got as well $2 billion that came from G&T Express, which is a pretty large logistics company. Based out of Indonesia. So that's about $4 to $5 billion actually that just came from two deals alone. But even if you strip that off, the remaining amount, the deal count for Q1 was still 40% higher than the previous two quarters.
Right.
Which tells us that actually there's still a lot of money, you know, that's being raised and invested in startups. Which, I mean, if you take a step back and you think, right, like a lot of the money that's coming in from private capital funds, whether they're venture capital firms or PE firms, a lot of that has already been raised in the last year to two. So this is, you're talking like pre-COVID times. And a lot of this money is just, you know, sitting around. It needs to be deployed. So I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if the momentum is going to continue in the coming months. I mean, it's been 1 year since COVID has passed. We're still seeing, you know, some sort of COVID coming, depending on which market you're talking about, vaccination rollouts, you know, some COVID infection cases rising in certain portions of the region. But I don't really think that's going to significantly impact deployment of capital, because funds do need to deploy this capital. And if it's sitting around, it's basically money that's being wasted. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to play out in the coming months.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for taking the time to share all those updates with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Christy Neo, senior writer. She covers venture capital and startups at Deal Street Asia. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.